From the home of the Codebreakers and the birthplace of modern computing, this is the Bletchley Park podcast. Welcome to another Bletchley Park podcast extra. There really is no predicting who will pop into Bletchley Park and what secrets they'll reveal about what happened here during World War II. In the last few months alone, we've heard Sir Arthur Bonsall telling the tale of why stones were put around the Oval, the Budd children talking about climbing trees and seeing the comings and goings of the Codebreakers around the clock, and bomb wrens taken back in time by a recreation of a Bossy Boots warrant officer in Hut 11. Podcast producer Mark Cotter and tour guide Mike Chapman met some women who recalled how the pneumatic conveyor system was used in Block E, not for vital intelligence, but live frogs plucked from the lake.
One of our visitors here today at Bletchley Park, we're very pleased to have here. She is a veteran, Nora. Today she's known as Nora Boswell, but during the Second World War she was Nora Knight. Nora, would you please tell us where you were based and what you did?
I was based at Stanmore, which was one of the outstations for Bletchley, and I was a bomb operator.
You mentioned before this that you came here once before. Would you like to tell us the story behind how you came to Bletchley Park?
I came to Bletchley once because I was sent up on remand because I'd been late three times for duty. And so I had to come and see the chief officer up here.
For a telling off?
For a telling off.
Oh dear.
And so she said to me, well, you must do better than this. And I said, yes, ma'am. And so it said, instead, your next time off after the 12 o'clock shift, you're going to stay at Stanmore and do housework for half the day, and then I hope you'll behave better in future.
And we haven't told you off today.
No, luckily.
There is just one photograph around the back of one of the wrens wearing sleeveless jacket.
Oh, that's allowed.
Yeah, there is. If you look at the photographs, you can see that.
But now these, you've had to make all these again. You see, now what we would have had behind here is wooden shelves with the select, with all the,
yes,
with them all on it. And you would be instructed with what you've got to do. And I always said one of the reasons I was chosen was because I'm tall and I could reach the top row. That's it. But oh my goodness, this is quite different. Mine had wires. That's it. No, yes, that's it. And I had to look at this the whole time to make sure none of the wires were touching. And if the wires were touching, and I put it on, then I'd get, you know, that was my fault for not putting them, setting
because
it up properly.
Because you would get incorrect results, wouldn't you, if that was the case?
Yes.
Yeah.
You had to set up the pattern, the three banks like then. Mind you, you might come on duty and find one is running and you don't have to do that.
Yes.
But if it's the job is up, as we used to say, job is up.
Yes.
Then you would have to plug in at the back. Do you still plug in at the back?
Yes.
Plug it all in. They've
so
given.
Go around there, I'll show you.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So, yes, that's it. I never thought I'd see it again.
I don't suppose you did, no. I don't know if this rings any bells.
Nothing.
That's a menu. That's what you use to.
That's what I plug
that
in.
What tells you. That's.
Yes, but it was a scrappy bit of paper.
Yeah, oh yes, it would be.
It wasn't anything like that.
We have this for display purposes,
yes,
because we're showing it to the general public.
Just like that, but it was a scrappy bit of paper,
yeah,
which came.
Yes,
that's
a bit like that.
Yes.
And the leading wren sat in a little room at the end of the bay, and you just said, there's your bit, get on with it, you know.
Yes,
and
she give you the wheel orders.
And give you the wheel orders.
And if one didn't work, you'd move on to the next one, wouldn't you?
Yes, yes.
Yes.
But they were all on a wooden track,
and
wooden shelves here, and you had to take them off the shelves and put them on. And then, of course, I regret to say that if a machine was running, I mean, that was, when you came on duty and found it was running, that was a bit of a breathing space.
Yes. Yeah.
And you have to remember that there were no windows or anything, of course. No. It was all just this concrete place, yes.
Yes.
But may I come in?
Yes, you may. You come in and you come and have a look at the inside of the machine, which is something you wouldn't have seen during the Second World War.
What is so interesting to me is that after 70 years, I am last learning today what I was doing. Because we weren't told any information at all.
Oh, no.
They worked on the system that the least they told us, the better. And the thing we were ever told was the Bismarck. They came and told us that the Bismarck had been sunk and that that was due. But that's the only thing. I did try and ask more questions and I was just told, get back to the machine and get on with it.
So you knew you were involved in code breaking,
yes.
But you never saw the end product?
Never. Nothing.
And you never saw a decoded message or anything of that sort?
Nothing.
No.
But the thing which you, I don't know if it goes with this, you did a week on this machine and then a week on the Enigma, because if this came through the message, you see, there was another group of people on the Enigma machine.
I think it was probably, checking machine you're
yes,
thinking
of? Yes, a checking machine,
it
yes.
It works yeah. like an Enigma.
Yes, it you was. Sort of it was a
drums,
checking machine.
You set the drums by hand.
And so that was bliss, because you'd had a week of standing for 8 hours, and then you had a week of sitting, and that was when the messages came through, and you just did it out. And if it came up, of course, it was fantastic.
Yes, it was to check that you'd got the right results before you sent it all back to the code breakers, wasn't it?
Fantastic. Don't tell me you're a volunteer, do you?
I am a volunteer, yeah, well, the team keep us on our toes. We're not allowed to do this until we know what we need to be speaking about, if you see what I mean.
And they just flung us in. And, of course, the way I arrived at Stanmore to do this, as Mike knows, is they just... Sorry, there's a lot of people. They said you're going on special duties. I'd been at Mill Hill for a fortnight scrubbing floors and, you know, being put in my place.
Is that what's called basic training?
Basic training. Then they said, 12 o'clock today, your special duties, you're leaving. The van's coming. The van came. 15 of us were put in it. No windows, nothing. We didn't know where. We got terribly excited. We thought, where are we going? Half an hour later, we arrived at Stanmore.
You thought it was going to be Portsmouth?
Yes. Well, anywhere. I mean, Scotland, we had visions of anything. Frightfully exciting. Landed up at Stanmore, and that's where I stayed for 3 years.
Anyway, do come in.
Thank you very much.
From this side, you can see the interior.
Yes, which I've never seen
the,
before.
The pipework, which is the lubrication system, and the oil reservoir, and the motor.
I would have seen all this when these RAF chaps had to come in and service it.
They were the ones who opened up the machine, and refilled the oil, did all the maintenance. Oh, that's quite correct.
And it happened pretty frequently.
Yes.
Pretty frequently it broke down.
This is the...
That's it.
This is the plug board.
I would have been given on a scrappy piece of paper what I had to plug in, and I would stand here and plug it in.
Yeah. Did you use a trolley resembling that one to carry the cables?
No. They just brought them down by hand. Right. There weren't such things as trolleys.
No. Our engineering team dreamt that up to make it a bit easier for us.
Of course. And the only trolley which went round was one with ghastly camp coffee and stuff on it. Yes. But when you think of it, 8 hours is a long time that the shifts were.
Yes.
And you had half an hour break in the middle when you went back to base and had a meal or something. But the people I felt really sorry for at Stanmore, Bletchley, everywhere, is the cooks. Because all they had to feed us all up, they didn't really know what we were doing, and it was deadly boring. I mean, and they had to provide us with these meals all day, you know.
And they didn't have very good materials to work with, did they?
No.
It's very frustrating to a cook, then. They must have had a...
But this is exactly the same. But it certainly wasn't lovely, bright red. It was, you know... But that's the thing, you plugged it in. But there was really no skill. I mean, it was pretty obvious what you had to plug in. Then the drums, of course, that took much longer getting the drums on. Because they'd tell you the setting, and it was this checking all those wires that none of the wires touched.
Yes, and you had to do that every time you changed them.
Every time, yes.
Yeah.
And that was
a pair of tweezers.
Yes, that's right. Absolutely amazing when you think. But they still found it was worthwhile us doing it because they got enough, results.
Did you know that they found over 20,000 Enigma key settings during the Second World War, and they wouldn't have been able to do anything like that without these machines that you helped to run.
Yes.
And those settings gave access to an awful lot more
messages, because each one would give access to maybe tens to hundreds of messages.
Yes. And all they would come in and say, you know, job up, and everyone said good, but we just knew that it was blue was Navy and brown was Army, and that was all. And they went on the theory that the least information we knew, the better. All signed the Official Secrets Act, and if we'd split or anything, we'd have been shot at dawn. But, I mean, it's amazing that everybody kept it, isn't it?
Yes.
And I didn't tell my parents. I didn't, until 1980, when it all, you know, I think, came out, didn't it? When did it?
1975.
1975. I hadn't told my husband or anything.
No. People didn't. I mean, there is one documented known case of a lady and gentleman who both worked here during the Second World War.
Oh, yes.
Met after the war, got married. Neither of them discussed with the other what they'd done during the war, and they didn't realise they were a married couple. And they, neither of them knew what the other had done during the war until 1975.
Gosh, and now what, we've got Twitter and everything, don't
you? You couldn't make it
They're telling everybody everything, I mean.
If you'd like to come back
around
this round the front.
How long a shift do you do?
Well, we're here all day, but I'm only...
If you want to actually start it up...
That would be marvellous, wouldn't it?
You can do that.
Get my revenge.
The start switch is this one. On the left hand of that pair of switches.
Yes.
Now, if I put the power on,
yes.
You press that and keep it down for a moment or two.
Yes.
It should start up.
All right.
Just a moment. Wait. Put your finger on the top. That's it. There we go. You can let go now.
I can't believe it, that noise. I can hear it again. But you think of a small room, much smaller than this. With six of these machines going all the time. It really wasn't exactly relaxing.
The smell as well.
The smell and everything. But we all did it. I mean, there was no question about it. That's what we've been asked to do.
All of our bomber operators are always the same. They always tell us how... Well, some of them describe it as the hellhole.
Yes.
But you all did wonderful duty for us.
Well, we just did it, I mean... Everybody was doing something, you see. It was the war and everything was involved. And thank you very much.
And that came to a stop then. That was its first stop.
Where is the stop showing?
It's showing on these drums here.
I didn't have to read the drums to get the message.
I think you might have. I thought there was
something on the side.
Yes, there's both.
Ah, that's
both.
On the side, yes.
I can show you that as well. You've got three letters here. You've got S, N, and Y.
Yes.
And those are the stop letters.
Yes.
And you've got the letter round here as well.
Ah, that's the thing.
Yes.
All marvellously done, encased in a...
Yeah.
But I think, when it was just, you know, this would be filthy, yes. But, of course... The awful thing is, of course, Churchill had all these destroyed, didn't
he?
He did,
yeah.
And it was amazing you've been able to build them again.
Yeah, we had to take them to pieces.
I know. Incredible.
The girls who have been working on it, did you have to take yours to pieces?
No, I got out of it.
Oh, right.
Yes. Yeah. Well, thank you very, very
that's
much.
That's quite all right. I'm honoured. It's wonderful to see people when they come see us.
But as I say, 70 years ago, it's quite a long time. Yeah. I'm 88 now, so 18 then. Yes.
I mean, that's a remarkable thing. Back then, this is what I've always find amazing. Back then, you were not an adult until you were 21.
Quite right.
Were you?
No, you weren't.
So people who refer to the bomb operators as girls, they're not being sexist.
No.
They were girls.
We were girls.
Yes.
And my father always went at me and said, I thought you could have done better than that. Why haven't you become an officer? I said, you're not allowed to till you're 21. You're not grown up till you're 21.
No, you had to be an ordinary rain before that, didn't you?
Yes.
Yes, you couldn't be an officer if you were under
And the other very sad thing was that everybody else had a badge. I mean, you were a cook or a writer or a boat's crew, something like
that.
We had nothing. And it wouldn't have hurt them to have given us something.
You ran special duties, just didn't you?
That would have done, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
but we had nothing.
You'd have given it away, though.
Yes, we'd have given it away.
I mean, it seems strange they didn't give them writer badges. But most of you were initially taken on as writers, weren't you?
No, I was never taken on as a writer.
You were not?
No, I was just taken to Mill Hill and told I was going on special duties.
Yeah.
And, you know, I thought, oh, that's frightfully
glamorous. Probably a bit later on in the war.
And sounded most exciting.
Given the procedure, the hurry up by then.
I know Eileen Young husband, who ended up in the filter rooms, she was obviously not connected to bombs or anything, she was in Flight of Command. She was told, because a friend of hers had already become a Wren, and said, when you go for your interview, tell them you want to be a Wren special duty. And she knew to say it.
Yes,
and the officer said, how on earth do you know that?
Yes, of course.
And she said, I've been told to say it and told to tell you that I'm good at mathematics. She said, oh, all right then. And they let her in. So, because they'd originally said, do you want to be a cook or a cleaner
or a
driver?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And she said, no, I want to be a Wren special duty.
Yes. But you didn't need any skill, and you didn't need any skill.
Ultimately, you didn't, did you?
It was nothing.
It was quite a routine job.
It was, and I simply said that there were quite a lot of us who were tall, and that was very good because I could, you know, you could reach. And those drums are much heavier than those. They really were heavy things. Those drums.
I'm sure the materials then probably heavier than they are now.
Well, thank you very much indeed.
That's quite all right. So it's been wonderful to meet you. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for all you did.
No, well, I mean, you know, it's all, we all did. It was the war.
Yes.
But that's wonderful. I never thought I'd see all that. That's wonderful. Thank you very much.
Part of a very important team.
Thank you very much for your service. How can I escape? Oh, yes,
through
the door.
There's a gate here.
So, Joyce, this is Block E.
Right.
You probably won't recognise it, but I think this was where you worked, because this was the communication.
Yeah, you're quite right. I remember I used to creep round the back. There was a loo stuck round the back somewhere and things like that. It looks vaguely familiar. No, I tell you what, I think we did work in the concrete block.
And what was it you did?
I was a teleprinter operator, and I've just realised that they'd got all the coded messages over, and they printed it out in written Morse on green paper, remember that? Then they sent these things to us in written Morse. We translated it into, I think it was five-digit things, and it also said in those messages where they needed to go, and it was like a telephone and it was teleprinter because it can't be tapped into. Landline, wasn't it?
Yep.
And we sent them out by teleprinter, and sometimes you'd work on the switchboard and you could send a message to five or six RAF stations all over the country, and you could type it out on one teleprinter.
Right.
Or if you sent it to one, you know.
And how did the information come into you? How did it arrive in your office?
Anybody remembers the old-fashioned haberdashery stores and that? They used to have this system where you had a little ball and you put it in and pull a thing and it went along wires. So it used to come from the main office in the front, which was manned by men, presumably, to us. And with the lake just in front of there, they took the frogs out of there, used to put it in with a message so that when we got it, we opened it up, a frog jumped out at us. Typical man, wasn't it?
Absolutely brilliant. You were saying about that picture on the wall.
Yes, well, it must have been one of those places. It does look familiar to that man because it's 70 years ago. There was a lovely picture on the wall of a seaside place where a man was selling ice creams and children were playing on the sand and things. And I was there in 1944 and the war had been very long. We'd been through bombing. And this picture on the wall was a real inspiration. It sort of made you feel, oh, there's sanity in the world somewhere. You know, it was like when I was a child. And it was lovely, and you sort of thought, well, maybe we'll get back to that one day. So that was my picture on the wall. And I'm sorry it isn't still there, because I would love to see it.
Yeah.
Oh, we used to have fun, we did. I mean, most of the chaps that were there had done years in Italy and had come back and were really then working up to demob sort of thing. So it wasn't a very dark time. I suppose it was the beginning, but if you remember in 1945, well, you don't remember, but in 1945, things were definitely looking up after the invasion, and it looked okay all the time then, so we began to...
Yeah, hope, didn't you?
And I remember VE night, I was in Trafalgar Square. There's a picture in there of Trafalgar Square, wasn't there? Well, I was in that melee on VE night, but then VJ night... All the chaps, it was very naughty of them, the chaps who were in the men's billets, they all took the furniture out and made a bonfire of it on VJ. I think they couldn't care less then. The war was over and they thought we're painting mob. So who cares? I remember that.
We used to have nice forks and spoons given to us. We went to the... You were much too posh in the lens for this. I bet you didn't have a knife, fork and spoon given to you enough to go to the...
No, I got it at the canteen.
Yeah, that's right. They were posh in the lens.
And I got into terrible trouble. I was sent to the head officer again because my bedspread, I put it on upside down and they called me in and said, "Knight, you have sunk a ship."
Oh, they do things like that, don't they? Yeah.
Nah, honestly, yeah. A bit
They want you to put us on a charge if we typed a letter wrong. Yes. And imagine how difficult it is when you don't even know what you're typing about. You could easily put an L. But if you did, you're on a charge, you know. I remember hearing about the atom bomb. We were coming from breakfast and we had a big tank of water where we washed our utensils, as they were called, our knife, fork and spoon. And somebody came up to me and said, "There's been a big new bomb just dropped, you know." And that was the beginning of the atomic age. I remember that, yeah. I was washing my utensils at the wash thing after having breakfast. All these things remember, don't you?
Nearly 2 hours.
Amazing, because I've never met these people in my life.
Oh, no, really?
Because none of them, we never talk about it. On.
No. Are you all from one society?
No, we're just the Isle of Wight. The coach travel company that operate on the Isle of Wight, and they do 2 trips a year to Bletchley. And, of course, I thought, well, that's the easy way to go.
And to think you both were serving.
Yes.
It's marvellous.
Yeah. What are we going to look at now?
We're going to look at the newly opened Hut 11. So they've... as closely as they can, recreate what the bomb rooms look like. That's how you remember it, is it?
Absolutely. That's where the shells, that's what you had to take them off. Those right. Shells were behind you. I'd be working here on the bomb, and the shells would be here behind me.
Right.
And you just turn around and take them off.
Take them off.
And do it. Not pleasant. And everyone, you've got your flipping tweezers in your hands.
I'm going to see Sid Field and hear Zoe Galsing. I'm gonna get lit up when the lights go out in London.
Job up.
Job up, girls. That's right, that's the phrase.
At last. Well done. Strip the machine down as fast as you can. You're moving on to the next menu.
Job up, Amy. Yes. Prayers answered. Just we got typical. The right settings.
Typical bossy woman.
Now,
yes.
Please.
This is very much like it. It's exactly. Was this used by us? You know, because it was just like.
May well have been.
Just like this.
Yeah.
We had rooms on each side, and yeah. We worked in one of the rooms. You know, and we had our teleprinter tables out like that.
Yeah. So this started off as Hut 8 name decryption.
Well, this is.
But when they moved like down to 43. It would
put taken over by moving to D.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
It looks very much like the place that I was in. Oh yeah. Oh. This page. Yeah, that's lovely. I remember that. Yeah, you had to pay figures and D, and that brought up the call sign of the people that you were calling. I mean, like if we were calling at Uxbridge, we were Central Signal Centre. And that was CENUXB. And we used to do the call sign and get that up. And then we used to put V, which that meant from. And then we were CSC. So we put VCSC. And then we type out from the written Morse, you know, and the messages. Because we were Central Signal Centre and all places like GPK, that was 11 group. That was fighter, was it? Or I can't remember if it was fighter or bomber. But anyway, yeah. That's it. Doesn't it look ancient now beside my electric typewriter? Yeah, this is the one. Yeah, you put figures and D, and that brought up the call sign of who you were. I think you had to type in the call sign first of all. Yes, you must have done. Must have typed in the call sign, then put figures and D, and it would come up. That's right, properly. And then you put VCSC, and then you type out the information.
So when was the last time you saw one of these?
1947, when I was demobbed. I worked on it from 19... Well, when I came... Because I could already type when I came in the WAF, so that's... But I did start training as a wireless operator, but then obviously the RAF changed here a little bit when they could come here. It seems to me like that now. It seems to me that they decided to come here and work directly because there was the room then, and that's where they trained us all up suddenly to read Mitten Morse, because they set up this little unit in Essex and we all had to go down there to train to read Mitten Morse, and I think that's what they did then. But this looks very much like the place I worked. There was a long passage in between, and on each side the rooms with our teleprinters out on tables like this, and we used to sit boom, 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 boom.
It's and also this... possible you were in that building there with the flagpole.
Yeah.
That was also communications, and that would have given you the same long room.
If there's a room round there somewhere with a picture of the seaside place on, that's where I was. But obviously it's decorated, yes. And that years after.
Can I get a picture of you in front of that machine?
Okay.
It's what makes it worthwhile, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hearing your stories and seeing your face when you saw that machine, because I bet you never thought you were going to see one of those again.
No.
Right, what should we get you to say? Teleprinter?
Teleprinter, hello again.
Brilliant, thank you.
Dear old soul. It's funny how it looks now because I've got so used to electric typewriters after that. You know, it's really like an Underwood, that, isn't
right.
it?
Right, yeah. Here we go.
Yeah.
I forgot this was here.
That's it, yeah. Now that's the WAS, look, you see. That's how I was sat. Just like that, yeah. Just like that. That's exactly how we were. In my days, it was all written Morse. We didn't have straight.
So this is Block E. So this was the high-speed telegraphist and the Morse readers. Morse slip readers.
That's it, yeah. That's it.
So you...
Yeah.
That was the configuration.
The slightest mistake could render messages, and that's when you've got on
so
the
So when charge. You said the code, what did it look like when it came to you?
It looked. It was just written Morse.
Written
it was
Morse.
On a green. It was on a slip like this with slips of Morse.
So or, dots and dashes.
Yeah. Right. Written Morse written. Yeah. I don't think.
So is that like this now. Here? No, that's slipped out. That's tape, isn't it?
That's tape.
No, that's tape, isn't it? Yeah, that's not like written Morse. No, it was written Morse. You know, it's a long time since I've. That's
so this is
all
around the
slip plate.
Yeah. This was the room. So this was the auto room.
Yeah.
So the flight sergeant's desk, and then
somewhere around here there would have been like a switchboard that you when you're on switchboard duty you could park.
Did that look anything like that switchboard in there?
In here. Oh yes, it was like that. Yeah. Hello. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. And you go through to all the stations that you wanted to send the message to. You took turns to work on there and on the switchboard, you know.
Right.
God, that's great memories, isn't it? It's even a blue uniform. Not. I went to RAF Northolt, and there they've got a hut just set out like when I was in the WAF, because there used to be about 12 of us down each side, and one big stove in the middle that you tried to get your bed nearest because it was warm in the winter. You know? And that was like that. This is the bit that gives me most memories, of course. Thank you. But I thought this was the place. As soon as I saw it, this looked, I think we used to come in that entrance. I've got a feeling. Is this the way we can go out?
It is, yeah.
That's right. I remember the glass at the top you could see in those rooms. Because I used to look in to see whether people I knew were on duty. On the other watches, you've got friendly beside them. And you see if your mate was on duty. Thank you for that. I've really seen the place where I worked. The other was very interesting, but this means more to me because I remember it, you know.
Yes.
But, and I'm sorry that the picture of the seaside's gone.
Indeed, but we're all
right. Oh, that's right. I remember I used to come out to these loos.
Did you?
That's right, yeah.
Well, then you were in Passage.
Yeah.
You were in there.
I remember. That's right. You used to have to cross in the wet when you wanted to go. That's right, yeah.
Fantastic.
That's where I was. Yeah, I wouldn't have found that on my own, so thank you. Because they're all, I couldn't even remember the hat number I was in, you know.
No,
so,
thank you for sharing the story with us.
Oh, no, thank you. But I knew that I wasn't really part of the enigma thing. I knew I wasn't part of it.
Well, no, you were. It was all part of the same.
Yeah.
A lot of people describe it as being a cog in the machine.
Yeah.
And you were. You were all. Everyone was equally as important.
I got very into because I know all these messages used to come out in written Morse. I thought that was fascinating, you know.
Mm.
And then we used to be. I can't read it anymore now. If I see Morse now, I've forgotten it all now. Because I thought when I came here, I thought I knew it was all Wrens. And I thought, well, I'll go along just because I worked there. But I didn't think our contribution meant much. I thought it was just
bung in some RAF people in there because there was, you know, somewhere.
Every contribution here was worth it.
So the RAF took a lead on the communication side, so getting the messages in and out.
Yeah, that's right.
Without it, Bletchley Park couldn't have functioned because the messages wouldn't have come in
and because
with the encrypted signals and the messages wouldn't have gone out with the intelligence.
And they were routed in the messages, and so when they were routed, we just sent them out still coded because we didn't know what they said, but we knew where to send them to. You see, I was one of the youngest. I was only 13 when the war started, so I couldn't join. I came in at the end of the war. So any veterans you're going to get here now, have all got to be older than me. Any of the ones that were here, you know, you're only going to get the ones like me because, you know, they're all getting up to 90 now, late 80s. You're not going to get many now.
A veteran who worked in the same area as you.
Have you?
She was 14 when she started here.
Was she?
Yes. Yeah. Oh. She worked in Block E. On the communication side.
Yes. Oh, but she wasn't.
She was a naughty girl at school and was going to be kicked out of school, so her sister organised for her to come into.
I started work at 14, but because I lived in London and I worked in a bank, not here. I couldn't join up till you were 17 and a half.
Right.
And I joined up the earliest I could.
Thanks to the staff, volunteers and veterans of Bletchley Park who took part in this podcast. For more information, go to bletchleypark.org.uk or find us on iTunes. Also, follow us on Twitter, where we are at @BParkPodcast, and join our Facebook group. Thanks to Audioboo, who make this podcast possible. This podcast is produced for the Bletchley Park Trust by MC Fontaine. Thanks for listening, and we'll have more decrypts from the home of the Codebreakers next month.